Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Carl, now with 2024 in the rearview mirror, we're taking a look ahead at the year in politics that's coming up in 2025. Starting locally here in Western New York or New York State, what appears to be the biggest political story ahead in your eyes in 2025?
Well, I think it's going to be the election of mayor of Buffalo following the Byron Brown era, which was really just incredible for an executive in a mayor's position. To go almost 20 years in office, that really is remarkable. But now we've got looks like a multiple candidate contest challenging Acting Mayor Scanlon, and it could be a very spirited Democrat primary. And you know, with a lot of candidates in a primary, and you're slicing up what is usually a very small turnout in the election, anything can happen. So that's going to be one worth watching very closely.
Do you see any possibility where a Republican may make a legitimate push for office as mayor of Buffalo?
Slim and none, okay? It's going to be very, very difficult for a Republican to grab the top prize on the first bite at the apple. I think what might be more likely to happen is the party may decide to pick a couple of councilmatic seats that they could have a good chance of winning and try to elect some Republicans on the common council and then build a party from there. That's probably the wisest strategy. Now, things can change. There could be a huge scandal that tires the entire Democrat Party and all their candidates. Anything can happen in politics, but it's a really long for the Republicans to win the mayoral spot. As I said, I think the better strategy, more effective strategy, may be to pick a couple of councilmatic seats and try to get some presence on the city council, because right now they have none.
We've already seen a number of the candidates throw their hat into the ring for the mayor's race. How many do you believe could be in contention legitimately to challenge for the office come November when people cast their vote?
Well, the two big names obviously are Acting Mayor Scanlon, who's got the incumbency advantage. He's got a very strong political base and political organization in South Buffalo. And again, in a low turnout primary, a big vote from South Buffalo could be critical in getting him elected. The other is Sean Ryan, a senator, high profile, lots of money. You know, he's got six figures in his bank account, probably the ability to maybe even double that. So he's going to be a player. But then you've got a whole bunch of other people that could affect the outcome. You've got the Councilman Rashid Wyatt, who represents, as a councilman, part of Sean Ryan's Senate district. So, you know, if he pulls votes from what normally would go to Ryan from that part of the Senate district, that helps Scanlon, hurts Ryan. You got Garnell Whitfield, who could be a very credible candidate as well. So it's going to be complicated because of all the people involved. And as you know, Buffalo politics is ethnic, racial, neighborhood-oriented. And the more you slice up a small turnout, the more you can set up a surprise in an election. So for people like me, you know, who really follow this stuff on a daily basis, it's a fascinating year.
What are some of the other more notable local races outside of the mayor's race in the city of Buffalo? Anything that catches your eye?
Well, you've got a number of supervisors who are going to be term limited. And so they'll be vacating their seats. And if that happens, and the biggest one, I believe, is Amherst, you could have a very, very spirited race for Amherst supervisor. Well, obviously, Amherst is one of the largest towns in Erie County. There are no Republicans on the town board, including the supervisor, but there's been a lot of controversy, a lot of unrest amongst the citizenry on policies the current town board is following. So I could see some good opposition candidates coming forward. You have a new chairman for the Republican Party in Amherst, a person I know very well, former town of Tonawanda Republican chair and former Erie County Republican chair, Bob Davis. And I've worked with Bob. We cut our political teeth together in college and onward. If there's anybody who knows how to put together an organization and a campaign, it's Bob Davis. So that's a new feature in the Amherst race that'll be coming up this year. So again, it's a very large town. It's a very influential town, and you're going to have an open seat for a supervisor, and that could be an opening for the Republicans.
And what about nationally? I know that this past year was all about the presidential election. What's the biggest political storyline heading into the new year that could potentially impact Western New York in some way?
Well, I think this is going to be interesting because the question is, can the Republicans govern with a very small majority in the House? Republicans don't have the kind of party unity and discipline that Democrats have. And that's why you see all this nonsense going on with replacing speakers and, you know, having 15 votes to replace a speaker. And, you know, just this recent continuing resolution to extend the debt showed how fractured the Republican Party can be. And when you've got a very small majority, it doesn't take many people, you know, jumping ship to gum up the whole works. So the question is going to be, can the Republicans govern? And can they deliver on their three biggest issues that they promised to deliver on, being the border and reforming the border, energy and opening up energy sources to make energy abundant and inexpensive, and third, taxes, extending the Trump tax cuts, maybe even expanding on them. If they can enact those three major pieces of legislation in the next year, I think they have a good chance of retaining the majority in the next midterm. If they don't, if they squabble and fight and the entire the Republican caucus just becomes, you know, inoperative because of internal conflicts, they'll be on their way to minority status. So that's worth watching. The other thing that's worth watching is on the Democrat side. The Democrats have got a real problem. They have essentially allowed the far left progressive wing of the party to run the party for the last 12 to 15 years. And they just took a bath because of that. And I've talked to Democrats who say it's time for adults to go back in the room and take the keys back from the kids. Problem is, the kids have had the keys for 12 or 15 years. And in politics, people who have power don't like to give it up voluntarily. So if as saner heads prevail in the Democrat Party and they try to move the party back to the center, that's going to be at the expense of the left wing, which, you know, it pretty much controls the party from a financial standpoint. From an energy standpoint, it's where all the elites come from. That is going to be a really interesting dynamic to watch unfold over the next year or two.